there, fellow TV fans, and welcome back to your weekly regimen of TV news on the box here at the Geek Show Podcast Network.
Yes, hello. Today we are joined by a guest presenter from Cinema Eclectica and various others. Hello, Rob.
How hello, are you doing? Hello, Pickle.
Well, we say joined. He's sat in the chair and we can't make him leave.
It's nice. Once again,
he's duct-taped himself to it.
It's nice. Yeah. Once again, we've gone from having two Andrews to having two Robs.
Yeah, we don't do things by halves, so yeah.
No, we don't. But yes, Rob is on the show today, along with me, a different Rob.
Me and Andrew, who is not a Rob.
And me and Owen, who also is not a Rob.
Or an Andrew.
Am I not trusted to say me your name? Is that what that was? Great. This again.
I've heard you try and introduce.
Oh, you don't play nice like the other children.
No, that's why we're stuck on this table.
Yes.
Now get out your circle of paper. It doesn't have corners, so you can't poke yourself in the eye.
Oh, because that's the main... That's what you use, yeah. You still give a pencil, but you're worried about the paper.
Yes, you can poke it in your eye, but we're not talking about paper that can poke in your eye. We're talking about TV.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So, because you watch a lot of TV, don't you?
Yeah, that's why I've still got circular eyes, not square eyes. Like that old analogy goes.
Right, okay, let's get into the news then. So, who wants to kick us off?
Alright, I'll start first.
Well, if you must, then.
Big Bang Theory. Comedy shows, some of us still enjoying, some of us are just wishing it would
that's
die
a lie,
off.
Owen. No one still enjoys it.
It's 9 seasons in. By this point, no sitcoms actually have any sort of value anymore.
No, seriously, he's right. After, like, I think it's like the 4th or 5th season, depending on how good they were before. After that, it's downhill all the way.
Is Friends the only exception? Or
no, Friends is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Friends is it instigated it all.
Alright, so it's the Friends.
No, I will say Frasier. Frasier still managed to be good for most of its run.
For most of its run, yeah, but the thing is, because Frasier was a spin-off of Cheers, if you look at Cheers, Cheers basically went downhill.
Yeah, and then Frasier took the baton and then ran with it a bit.
Just ran the entire course.
Like, wiped it off, shiny.
Yeah, basically, because that had happened with Cheers, they basically looked at Frasier and went, yeah, we know where we went wrong, so we're not going to make that mistake again, are we?
But a Big Bang Theory.
That's exactly why Joey was the greatest show ever made.
No, that's because by the time they'd finished Friends, everyone had forgotten the lessons of the past.
Big Bang Theory might be saved by a bit of a spin-off. Who knows?
Big Bang Three.
I said Theory.
Oh, Theory. I thought you said Big Bang Three. I was going to say, we haven't even hit, like, Big Bang Two.
I think the only credible spin-off would be with Raj. That's the only
thing.
Well,
no, I think a spin-off could work, by which I mean a spin-off The Road from a Car with all the episodes in them, which then explodes, losing all footage of The Big Bang Theory forever.
No. There's only one character who's worth saving, that's Amy Farrah Fowler.
To be honest, it can't be any of the...
Can you imagine the cosmic adventures of Amy Farrah Fowler?
It can't be any of the primary characters of that thing.
Amy's probably the only funny character left because she's got that really black humour.
Yeah.
I keep referring to the real life operation, but I'm sorry, that was dark.
Let's get back to the car. What was the actual story?
The actual story is...
Yes. Big Bang Theory, of course, bringing in new people, including which Stephen Merchant.
And
Anna Lee Tipton.
Who's the second one? I don't know that name.
She's done comedy, but wasn't she also America's Top Model?
She's an ex-America's Top Model contestant. Yeah. She was actually in The Big Bang Theory. You know, when Raj and Howard look for the America's Top Model house?
She
was one of the models who was apparently in the house, and she's... Her and Stephen Merchant are going to play love interests for Amy and Sheldon, who have apparently broken up.
Yeah, how that works, I'm still going to try and figure out, because... For one, I haven't watched Big Bang Theory in a while. I'm a few seasons, couple of seasons behind, but it's just the whole idea of introducing Sheldon a love interest.
They introduced Amy Farrah Fowler, I think it was season 3, end of season 3.
Yeah, but that was kind of a...
Maybe.
I wouldn't necessarily call a love interest.
No, she is a love interest. She is a love interest. Sheldon actually loves her. Amy actually loves him, but Sheldon is Sheldon. So,
as is, know, yep.
Logic conquers all.
Of course.
How very pragmatic of you.
How very Vulcan.
No, that's an actual reference that I just did.
Nah, I know it was, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
References!
Yes.
Yeah! Yeah!
But yeah, I know that the first thing I've got to say is Stephen Merchant disappointed.
He can do better.
He can do so much better.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
you know what
Merchant.
You know what they're going to do with him though, don't you? I mean, they're pretty raw in this comedy story.
They're going to make him turn him into English Sheldon.
Basically,
that's what he's going to be.
Yeah.
Oh God, no! Please. Say it ain't so.
No, that's exactly what
it's
kind
of. It's a comedy formula that I know will have. I know why it works. Well, it's a basic comedy formula, isn't it? Just exact copy, just someone different.
Normal circumstances, but it's in a geeky world, and you have that one character that's really confrontational and doesn't make any sort of traditional logic.
Yeah,
that's where the comedy comes from.
Yeah,
and having somebody who's basically the same thing. Potentially, we don't know this yet, is a little disappointing, sorry. I said Stephen Merchant's very good. He's very good at what he does. He's far funnier than Ricky Gervais in Ricky Gervais.
Oh, God,
seem to have like a lion's share of good fortune.
I don't understand why people like Ricky Gervais.
Even on his own podcast, he's the least funny part about it.
I don't know. Something about his face makes my fists itch.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of...
I think it's that stupid smug grin.
It's his laugh as well.
Oh, that laugh's just...
I think he just thinks... He finds himself very funny. And, something about that winds people up the wrong way.
Maybe it's because, you know, when he was playing that role in The Office, kind of, he believed it a bit too much. So part of it's...
Did you hear that?
Part of it's eternally in his soul.
Did you see that thing in the... I think it was some festival of the sort, and he introduced himself in character as a... the character he played in The Office, and he didn't know what to do, so he just started doing lap dance. This is an awkward human being. Yes. Ricky Gervais is an awkward human being.
No, I think we all might have mistaken The Office. We all thought it was like pretending to be a documentary, but I'm starting to think it actually was just following Ricky Gervais around.
Basically. He was going on the radar, you know. But he did like some really, I mean, we're not talking about him, but Stephen Merchant. We'll get back to Stephen Merchant.
Well, Stephen Merchant's done some amazing stuff. I mean, he played a role in Portal, and how many people love Portal?
Yeah, he's Wheatley. It's
like
one of the greatest video game characters ever.
Exactly. And
I've never played Portal.
He's a very distinctive sort of guy. He has a very dry sense of humour.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to be a match for Big Bang Theory, really.
Like I said, I reckon they've just looked at Stephen Merchant and gone, English Sheldon, let's bring English Sheldon.
Maybe
in.
It'd be like a one episode deal. Because
it can't
he's
gonna
definitely
not going to be like part of the main cast.
I think they've basically said it'll probably be around the 9th episode of this current season.
That's very specific.
That's what the rumors are saying. That's what's on this article. And basically, Anne Lee Tipton, I'm assuming, is going to be the love interest for Sheldon, and Stephen Merchant is going to be the love interest for Amy Farrah Fowler. So
and then eventually those two love interests will get together, cue laugh track, episode ends, done the writing.
No, I think what they'll probably do is use this to get Amy Farrah Fowler and Sheldon back together.
Yeah.
You're still
and
watching
have Stephen
it?
Merchant and Annalee Tipton, you know, get them two together.
Yeah, and that is going to be the joke, and then the episode ends, and then everyone pretends it was funny, but it wasn't.
It wasn't because they did exactly the same thing in Friends.
I did laugh in one season of Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Season, not episode.
The thing is, Friends did this before. Remember when Ross was dating, I think it was the Japanese woman, and Rachel then ended up dating a guy who was in a similar profession to Ross. I think he was a geologist rather than a paleontologist, but him and Ross were both played by Dave Schwimmer. So they both had the same face. And Rachel started dating him, not realizing that he had all the same characteristics as Ross. And so the joke was basically they were exactly the same person. Then Ross and the Japanese woman ended up breaking up, and Rachel and that other guy ended up breaking up.
But the Japanese woman wasn't played by Jennifer Aniston, right?
No, she wasn't. But she didn't
have darker hair and like massive eyebrows. Yeah. Is that how they did it?
No, they just literally did like the James Bond pull the eyebrows back.
They didn't do that. But then the Japanese woman and this guy who looks like Ross actually met, and then they kind of went, oh, we like each other. So that was the joke.
It's very lazy comedy.
It is very, very lazy comedy.
But it was like season 9 or 10, by
seriously,
then.
Seriously, if No, that wasn't season 9 or 10. I think it was series 6 or something like that.
So just on the downward curve.
Yeah, just on the downward curve. But if Big Bang do that, then it's officially over for Big Bang Theory, and I will probably wash my hands of it completely.
E4 will still continue to support them.
Yeah, because
that's their show that they're going to put on forever and ever and ever until they get bored of it.
Because it's E4.
I'll go next with a news story. Sesame Street in the news, because they've introduced a new character called Julia, who they've been working with like two autistic companies for the past year, and this character debuted in a book called Where Amazing 123. But yeah, Sesame Street has introduced a brand new character. I don't know how often they introduce new characters, so. But it's a big deal nonetheless to have this new character to the Sesame Street cast being autistic.
Well, I don't think Sesame Street introduced new characters that often.
I don't think they do. They described it in the press release as she likes to do things a little bit differently from everybody else. So they're not beating around the head with the idea that she's autistic.
No.
They're kind of being a little bit more sensitive with it, really.
Yeah.
Because it's all about awareness and awareness. I mean, I get the two companies up who they've been working in conjunction with, so it's like a decent sort of collaborative effort.
Yeah. Which,
I like the fact that they're actually bringing this.
It was part of a campaign called See Amazing in All Children, which is nice. And they've been working with Autism Speaks and Autism Self-Advocacy. So I like that. That's nice. It's a positive move.
Yeah, it's a very positive move. It's just a shame that they couldn't have done this a lot earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess better late than never.
Better late than never, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of people who will turn around and say exactly what I've said. You know, why couldn't you do it 10 years ago?
But, Twist, I don't like that kind of attitude, because what does that help?
I'm basically just
raising it here because it is an attitude that a lot of people will take. You know, it's all well and good doing it now, but why didn't you do it 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago?
It's very progressive. I wouldn't say it's progressive of them. It's just nice to see them including a little bit more of a spectrum of sort of character types, rather than just all the same.
This is the reason why I'm bringing that up. At the end of the day, people will criticize, you know, the show, but what goes on to the show has to go past the studio executives, and the studio executives are the ones that make the decisions.
I think it's on ABC these days.
Yeah.
So if they're going to criticize anybody, then they need to criticize the network itself.
Maybe not, but we're not going to go into the specifics of studio.
All I'm saying is
machinations,
politics.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not a particularly memorable character, so it's not like she's going to be like a mainstay of the series. It's not like she's designed with like sort of marketability or like an iconic design in mind. I think it's good what they did with that though, because they just designed her as just a normal girl, like a puppet. It's a puppet, obviously, but they just designed like a normal girl, and that's better. Because if they did it like, Groucho, is it Groucho a thing?
Lives in the bin.
No, that's Oscar the Grouch.
Oscar the Grouch.
Not the Groucho Marx.
Yeah, it's not Groucho Marx. Groucho Marx is a Sesame Street Muppet. I would love that. But no, we will wait. But yeah, if they designed it up, like they built up the character, it would be a bit bad taste of them. So I think they probably did the right thing, just making it like a normal puppet girl.
Because I think otherwise you run the risk of like making the autism like a wacky character trait.
That's
definitely not the right message to send.
So they've done a good thing here.
Yeah. You've got to appreciate that they're raising awareness in their form.
Well, that's the design.
I've seen the design.
Yeah, it's just a girl.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no difference between that and any of the majority of the other characters you see on Sesame Street.
Well, the humanoid ones anyway.
Yeah.
Well, they're all humanoid, I suppose, but you know what I mean.
It's not like a giant bird
or a vampire that doesn't actually do anybody in and feed off the blood for sustenance.
Well, not on screen.
No, not on screen.
Maybe that's what he's counting.
What, the number of victims
he's done this week?
You make him sound like Zaz.
Victor Zaz is not
counting. That's exactly what the count is like.
No. One. Just etching it in Zaz. they count doing that. And it's just got like foam going everywhere because he's made out of felt and foam. It'd be horrible.
Kids will, everywhere.
Just kids. No. He won't use a knife. He'd use basically needle and thread. One.
How very elaborate of him.
Yes. Just like tallies all over him, embroidered into his felt.
This is a weird version of Sesame Street.
It's gone a lot darker, a lot quicker than I'd expected.
But it is
a vampire.
It did start.
He's a little friendly vampire. He helps me count.
It was in the 70s. It started in the 70s in New York, didn't it? So
yeah,
New York in the 70s was kind of weird.
New York in the 70s was definitely weird.
Yeah. So maybe there's some sort of hidden subtext to those characters that we don't
know.
Yes,
there is.
I'm pretty sure the Cookie Monster is like entirely responsible for the diabetes epidemic.
Potentially, yeah. Maybe a drugs allegory thrown in there as well.
There is.
I think Family Guy already
You want to look up the kind of the history of Sesame Street and the reason why some of the characters are the way they are. Because it's...
Groucho is basically a homeless person.
It's very interesting reading.
Groucho is a homeless...
Oscar the Grouch.
Oscar the Grouch is basically a homeless person. Yeah. And to get rid of them, they threw them all in the bins. Threw the bins in the river. Oh my God, Sesame Street's dark.
Cookie Monster. I mean, who's always looking for cookies at 3 o'clock in the morning?
I'm not going to say.
And just wanders around and goes, cookies.
He's fairly playing with his cookies. He just has, normal chocolate chips.
Why do his eyes go all over the place?
I think we need to address the fact that he mainly, scrunches the cookies up into a fine powder before consuming them.
Yep. They're very special cookies. Very special cookies.
Sesame
Disco biscuits.
Baked in a hermetically sealed lab.
It's very dark, isn't it?
Right. Disco biscuits is a word that refers to certain types of drugs, right? I walked into a certain supermarket several months ago, and there on the shelf with the biscuits were disco biscuits. I'm like, are you sure you're selling these to, children?
Were they next to the testy water?
Yeah.
Well, were there just a bunch of adults there? Oh, my God, disco biscuits are such good prices. Just bags of them. It's like, leave me alone.
They're just chocolate biscuits with Smarties, but they call them disco biscuits.
Well, that's a disappointment.
What, you're expecting crack in them?
Well, yeah. You used to be able to get cocaine in Coca-Cola, didn't you?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where the name came from.
Coke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we've taken that as far as it can logically go.
So, Sesame Street.
Before I start talking about drugs.
Yes.
Drugs with Adam K.
It's good that they're doing this character, though, Sesame Street, this Julia character. It's good for autism awareness, and I hope good things come from it. It leads to other sort of more positive stuff in shows like this.
Yes. Okay, what's next?
Me time. Okay, so Andy Parsons has quit Mock the Week.
Really?
Yeah. Well, as I quit, I think he's decided to stand down. Because, I mean, basically, he's been doing this for 10 years, and that's 135 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a lot.
For a British TV show, that's an especially
lot. Yeah.
I mean,
it's only 6 season episodes, is it not? Something like that.
The thing is, after 135 episodes, I'm amazed they hadn't gone down the EastEnders route and pushed him into a river or something like that.
British TV shows, what, 6-8 episodes long generally?
I think Mock the Week might be
Mock the Week is usually about 12 to 14 episodes.
Still a lot of seasons that he's been on board.
He's been there since the very start.
Has he?
It's a long time.
Oh, so he was there back when Rory Bremner was there?
No, the original five were Andy Parsons, Russell Howard, Frankie Boyle. And,
I thought you were going to say Frankie Howard there.
No, Frankie Boyle and Hugh Dennis. With Darrell Breen as the presenter, wasn't it?
Well, no.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah, and then each one would have a guest on the team.
No, because I'm pretty sure it went a lot earlier than
Rory Bremner wasn't one.
He was a regular, but he wasn't.
Yeah, Frankie Boyle was the original. They replaced Frankie Boyle because he was...
He kind of got them into a bit too much trouble.
Yeah.
With the whole Queen comic.
Oh, yeah. But he was kind of replaced with Chris Anderson.
Just with the whole being Frankie Boyle bit.
Yeah. I like his Twitter handle, though. Probably a bad bet for a charity gig. which is very good. Which is right. It is. But it means the only one left is... What is it now?
Hugh Dennis.
So the only person...
The only two members left of the old guard are Hugh Dennis and Darrell Breen himself.
So it's kind of like with Nevermind the Buzzcocks, the one left is Phil Jupitus. He is that guy now.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. I mean, Andy Parsons was just... He was kind of the show, wasn't he? He was the first... When you think of Mock of the Week, that was kind of the first you came up with, him and Darrell Breen.
Well, kind of, but that was partly because they were both bald.
Oh, that's a horrible joke. Because they're all face.
Yes, basically. Oh, yeah. I'm glad someone got that. But I mean, Hugh Dennis is, he's really looking like the old guard these days.
One question about Hugh Dennis, though.
Yeah.
You know, you watch Mock the Week, I assume. He does that bit where he just voices over, like, usually the Duke of Edinburgh.
It's usually something to do with the royal family.
Is does that, they still do that?
Every so often, yeah.
Is that actually part of the quiz, or is that just, like, part of the show? Because I don't understand why it's there.
No, it's just part of the show.
Oh, okay, that makes sense then. That makes sense. This is is he just wanting to like focus on sort of stand up now?
Yeah, well, no, he's got kind of his own little podcast thing called the Slacktivist Action Group.
Oh, really?
Which I think he wants
apparently
to.
Andy Parsons wasn't there from the beginning. It was Rory Bremner.
Yeah.
Well, you are Wikipedia. you cheat.
Dave originally informed me. Thank Dave.
Who's Dave?
The channel with their old episodes of Mock the Week.
Oh, okay. But this is, I mean, maybe something, I mean, they'll have to replace him, surely, because when, I think, Frankie Boyle left, they got Milton Jones.
Yeah, Milton Jones
well,
as well.
I think they've kind of moved more now to just having sort of a rotating cast of fairly regular people.
Yeah, they got that. I mean, originally it was kind of Chris Anderson.
Yeah, Chris Anderson replaced Frankie Boyle.
Oh, what was that Irish comedian they get a lot?
Ed Byrne.
He does particularly well whenever
Ed
he's
Burn's
on it.
Ed Byrne's pretty regular now.
Yeah. He's like one of the best things on it when he's on it, usually.
Thing is, him and Daryl Breed are best mates anyway. So.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know Ed Burns is actually... Was it Ed Burns?
Ed Byrne.
Ed Byrne, sorry, he's on like Father Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the sketch where... I don't know why this is relevant or anything. I just thought I'd bring it up. But the sketch where they're talking to the hotline for priests and the two teenage kids on it. One of them is Ed Byrne.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Wow. I never go back and watch it. Oh, look what that is.
Oh, look at him. He's so young.
Yeah, but if they're going to replace him with anybody, I think, you know, it's better to have a sort of rotating cast. I think he'd be a pretty good shout.
Yeah. Well, actually, Andy Parsons has said he thinks they should replace him, like, with maybe one of the female regulars.
Yeah.
Just to get a bit of diversity there.
Well, that's it, because there was a while ago where the BBC put down that Mock the Week had to have at least one female on every show for diversity reasons.
Well, when you say it like that, it just sounds like positive discrimination. It should be.
It is a bit, yeah.
Which sometimes
is
worth
with
it.
Whoever's available.
Yeah.
Why not just do that? You just basically say, okay.
Except Michael McIntyre. We don't want that again.
Well, the episode he was on, he was totally out of his depth. But just basically throw it open to all the comedians who basically are contracted at the BBC or have a name. They're a face of some sort. You basically say, okay, who wants to be on Mock the Week this week? Just see who says, yeah, we can do it. Then just basically pick the name out of a hat. It's fair.
Mm.
It is, yeah.
It's an exposure thing as well.
Yeah.
That's what's good about those sort of panel shows. The better ones anyway. Not ones on ITV2. Channel 4.
Oh, please, no, not Celebrity Juice. I hate Celebrity Juice.
It's Lee Francis, isn't it?
Mm.
Hate.
Who does it? And Lee Francis.
Yeah, is that what like, his actual name is?
That's his actual name. He's an actual person from actual Leeds, not a horrible thing called Keith
Seriously,
Lennon.
Can he not just go back and start to do more Bo Selector?
Yeah.
Can he just be... He's one of those comedians. There's one on like, BBC Three as well.
Hmm.
Lee Nelson?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The one who like, runs around as a chav.
Yeah. I just hate him so much.
He's terrible as well. You know, those comedians ignore it, who can only do characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Keith Lemon character, it's hard to know whether Lee Francis actually goes out in public anymore, or whether he just goes out as Keith Lemon.
He could go out in public quite easily because nobody knows who he is. Nobody knows that he's called Lee Francis. Nobody knows what he looks like, you know.
Yeah, but you don't go up to anyone and say, sorry, is your name Lee Francis? Or is your name Keith Lemon? Oh, sorry, you look like Keith Lemon. If it's Lee Francis, obviously that's not you. Just because he'll still look like the character.
Not necessarily.
People look very different on TV. People look different on TV.
Yeah.
You know, fair enough.
Like, personally, I always thought that celebrities were all taller than me. But
I always get that. They're like, you always think they're all at least 6 foot tall.
Yeah, they think they're all giants, but when you look them up on, like, on the internet, it's like, he's only...
Well, I mean, look at Tom Cruise is the prime example.
I was just about
Tom
to bring
Cruise
him up.
Tom Cruise is the prime example.
Man, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said George Clooney. George Clooney always sort of emanates as a tall man to me, but he's not.
No, Tom Cruise...
How tall is George Clooney?
He's 5'8".
Yeah.
He's only 5'8"?
He's shorter than me.
Oh, that messes with my head.
Oh no,
it does, doesn't it?
Tom Cruise is tiny.
Oh yeah, yeah. But
he's like
Tom Cruise is famously tiny. Like
yeah.
That I've come to accept, but George Clooney is tall.
He's about the same height as me, then.
It's surprisingly short.
You want
short.
A tall man in Hollywood? Get Jeff Goldblum.
Because he's just like a scarecrow that has come to life.
And he's never aged, so that might explain it if he's a scarecrow, actually.
The Wurzel Gummidge movie. We know who should play Wurzel Gummidge.
Wurzel Goldblum.
Yes.
Yeah, I do like Jeff Goldblum. He's very good.
He'd be amazing as Wurzel Gummidge.
What do you do these days, anyway?
Stand in a field, chase away crows.
Not Wurzel Gummidge, Rob. And Jeff Goldblum. Different thing altogether.
Yeah, different thing, same answer.
Get off my land!
From Andy Parsons leaving Mock the Witch. Witch, even. Mock the Witch.
Is that the
together.
Halloween special?
Yeah, it's my Halloween special. Into... Jeff Goldblum as well as the Gummidge. That is segueing hard.
Wow. We're not even the same building anymore.
Yeah. Speaking of keeping things away, Ash versus the Evil Dead launches worldwide.
Well, you say worldwide, Rob.
I say worldwide. It's not actually worldwide.
It's not been attached to a channel in the UK yet.
No, it's not been attached to a channel in the UK. I know.
Which is stupid, because it'd just get loads of people watching that. Loads. I'm really excited for it.
Like, I'm trying to give people my money, but they won't give me the thing.
Yeah.
They won't accept your money.
Basically, the US premium channel Stars, they've signed deals with loads of channels all over the world, including Sky TV in New Zealand.
They've got like a week. Get it done.
But not the UK.
Yeah, Super Channel in Canada and Stan in Australia has a TV channel called Stan.
Hang on. We have one called...
We have Dave.
Is that version of Dave?
New Zealand have got it, did you say?
New Zealand
have got like six people.
Sky TV in New Zealand have got it.
I'm sorry, but what? Why?
Wait, so I'm related to the majority of New Zealand then? It's like, I know I have four like cousins and uncles who live there.
The other two are just cousins of your cousins.
Well, can you imagine they get it in New Zealand and phone Andrew and go, oh, do you want to know what's happening now?
And that'll cost them like 200 quid. Just so
But they'll say, it's worth it.
We've been getting a lot of positive sort of early press.
Yeah.
Which does not help.
No, it doesn't. Apparently, fans of The Evil Dead have spoken with great passion and interest around the world, sparking high buyer demand for Ash vs. The Evil Dead. So, yeah.
I mean, they could even do it on VOD or something, like a subscription little thing. Because Fright Fest have recently relaunched their little, you know, VOD service, so why can't you just do it for, like, a specific TV show?
Well, I suppose, like, Amazon or Netflix haven't picked it up.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like,
there's loads of options.
Pretty much entirely what they do is go, oh, there's this amazing thing that, like, none of the big channels have. We'll take that.
Yeah, Amazon Prime did their pilot for Zombieland, the TV show. So they're interested in that sort of stuff. The Zombieland pilot was awful. Like,
yeah, but like they can get a better thing than that.
Yeah, if they just looked and tried. I mean, they've got Top Gear now, haven't they, Amazon Prime? That's how far that show falls.
It's not quite Top Gear, it's...
It's not quite Top Gear.
It's the artist formerly known as Top Gear.
Now known as Squiggle because senility is set in. Sorry, too soon?
How did you say that when Prince was a Squiggle?
He was just...
He never actually came out because nobody had heard him because he talks very quietly. Hello, I'm Prince. He just talks like that. He's a very softly spoken guy.
I'm not Prince. I'm just known as this. I used to be known as Prince. Now I'm just this.
He's a very quiet guy. Very, very quiet.
In the words of Grace Jones, I'm a slave to the rhythm.
Well, I'm excited for Evil Dead. It's not often you get to say that about a TV show and that movie being turned into a TV show. But this is it, I think, for me. This is very much it.
Yes, we're all excited, even though we will not be watching it, because obviously since it's not airing in this country, we have no way of doing that.
There is still hope. There's still time until the 31st of October.
Well, you know what probably happened? We'll probably get it late. And the whole world will be going, oh, look how awesome this is. And we get like a month or two later.
And if they do that, then let's just go, just take Stars apart.
Don't.
Writing in the streets.
No, we'll just go to Hollywood and take Stars apart.
What, just on the?
Just like on the boulevard, just with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan, why have you got a star?
Yeah, why is that? Exactly.
I don't know if she has, by the way. I'm just saying.
Probably.
Why are you doing this? We're upset because you wouldn't show Ash vs. the Evil Dead in the UK.
Never anger horror nerds.
Exactly. Never.
We like violent stuff. You know, we have problems, clearly.
Clearly.
Yes. Anyway, so Ash vs. the Evil Dead, hopefully it will be airing worldwide on October the 31st. We live in hope. Get your finger out.
A new hope.
Seriously, BBC, why haven't you won this?
It's not very BBC, though, is it?
Yeah, but I mean,
I'd say it might be a Channel 4 thing if anybody was going to get it from the major channels.
We had this discussion before on one of the previous shows, and we said there's loads of great IPs out there. If BBC got their finger out and stopped being such prudes, basically said, okay, take BBC Three, for example, if you had this sort of thing on BBC Three.
They're often black, so it's not like the reverse to like foreign stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
BBC One and BBC Two, it's mostly British.
Yeah. But I mean,
if it's not British, it's absolutely awful and put on at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but if you put stuff like Ash vs. the Evil Dead, The Flash, Arrow, stuff like that on BBC Three and just made BBC Three kind of international viewing.
BBC, what was it called? What's it called in America? BBC World? BBC
World, yeah. Or BBC America.
Just
repackage it as that. And instead of having Sun, Sex and Suspicious, you know.
I said Mysterious Parents, and I think that's the best. Sun, Sex and Mysterious Parents.
Or Camel, Sex and Suspicious Parents or whatever.
No.
Gypsy Wedding and whatever else.
No, my big fat Gypsy Wedding is Channel 4. We don't care.
Oh.
But instead of having that and endless reruns of Family Guy and American Dad, have quality programming on BBC Three. You wouldn't then need to move it online because people would actually be watching it.
It's my fall asleep channel. It's when I can't fall asleep and I need something to help me fall asleep, I'll put on BBC Three.
Yeah.
Half an hour later, I'll be out.
And it has to be BBC Three because there's generally an interesting music documentary on BBC Four, which will keep you awake.
Yeah, it has. When it was Danny Dyer's alien documentary, he was in heavy circulation. Yeah. That was great for sleep.
Yeah.
He's just Danny Dyer. Can I believe it, mate? No, it's Australian.
apparently, he doesn't like Jeremy Kyle. Apparently, he hates Jeremy Kyle.
Nobody actually likes Jeremy Kyle.
Yeah, but Danny Dyer hating Jeremy Kyle, it's title fight.
Yeah.
Title fight?
Yeah.
Oh,
Danny Dyer versus Kyle. Fight of the century.
I thought you meant like boxing fight, okay.
Yeah, I mean boxing fight. The two of them punching each other out.
Yeah. Now that's a fight I'd pay to see.
I wouldn't, because I'd have to actually look at both of them.
No, because if you basically spread it out and make it an actual gladiatorial fight.
What do you mean, gladiator as in pugil sticks ready?
Commander of the Armies of the North type gladiator.
I still just say we go for a number Wang style sudden death round.
Oh, number Wang. There's something I've not heard for a while. Mitchell and Webb, do another series.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So what has happened to them? I know what David Mitchell's doing now, but what's Robert Webb up to these days?
I don't know. I think he just writes a lot.
What, Robert Webb?
Yeah.
I just assuming like he lives in David Mitchell's attic or something like that.
You're there for the day we want to do this again.
Yeah, I like the both of them.
Yeah.
Look good.
It's like, what is it? Frog and Peg or Peg and Frost?
Peg and Frost.
That's it.
Nick Frost and Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
And Edgar Wright. And, Mark Heap was thrown in there as well.
Yeah.
For space. Mark Heap played the insane artist, and Mark Heap just plays the insane anything. He's the best person in the world for that.
Skinner and Bedeal used to be quite good. Skinner and Bedeal.
At one point, yeah, but, Dave Bedeal when he's on his own isn't that great.
No,
neither is Frank Skinner.
And Frank Skinner's got an incredibly quick mind.
Yeah.
He is very, very quick.
He is very, very quick, but I don't know. He seems to bounce off other people better than he does stuff himself.
Yeah. I still like when he was doing Room 101.
You know what I mean? You know exactly what I mean.
Yeah, okay.
So, Ash vs. the Evil Dead. And before we get into what we've been watching, very quickly, we saw a full trailer for Jessica Jones.
Yes, we did.
What do you guys think?
Part of Netflix commitment to Marvel, sort of miniseries, which they're all going to collaborate into a big movie, I think it was. Was that right?
Yeah, I think so.
And this is the first one?
I think it's going to be like another series they do.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, there's this one. There's the Luke Cage series that they're bringing out.
There's Iron Fist.
Which they're having a lot of difficulty with.
Yeah, so I've heard.
It's a martial arts in a very sort of 1970s, oh, martial arts are cool again, where that's what it was inspired by, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like the song, everybody was kung fu fighting, that mood was Iron Fist.
Well, yeah. Iron Fist is a white man dressed in green pajamas that don't quite fit him doing kung fu.
Yeah. And like a yellow bandana on his head as well.
Yeah.
But this one
it's
looks...
still really cool, though.
This one looks... It's taken like a nose out of the... Oh, what was it called? The Daredevil sort of... The sort of in darkness thing.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's supposed to be set around Hell's Kitchen, which is where Daredevil's set.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so. it looks... It's got Luke Cage in there as well, so he appears, but... Yeah. It's mainly about some sort of... I'm not familiar with Marvel, like, lore, so it's about some character who goes into people's minds and makes... He inceptions them.
Yeah.
This guy inceptions people and makes them do what he wants.
His name's Kilgrave, but most people know him better as...
The Purple Man.
Yes.
Because he is purple and a man.
Wow.
is he in his pyjamas as well?
He kind of, like, has this purple suit that he wears.
I am really happy...
So it's Magneto.
No, but I mean, it's an actual suit is purple.
Oh, right, okay, because I was going to say Magneto wears purple as well. Why isn't he called the Purple Man?
Thanos is purple as well, isn't he? So
Thanos is actually purple?
Yes.
He's an actual...
but Thanos is an alien, so technically his code name would be Purple Alien, not Purple Man.
Yeah, but he's still a man, isn't he? Oh, no, he's not. No, he's not. He's an alien. You're right.
Aliens can have men and women, too.
No, we don't know what they define themselves as, so we don't want to offend. We just call them
aliens. We don't want to offend.
The purple global flop.
Yeah.
We don't want to offend our future alien overlords.
You're okay offending every country under the sun, but when it comes to past the sun, you're like, no, best be safe.
Yeah, but they have weapons that can kill us all.
I think it's just a matter of who we respect more.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah,
our lizard overlords are our future alien overlords.
So. Yeah, exactly. We don't want to...
Oh, there we go. Very clever, Rob. Very clever.
Well, we always wanted to see dinosaurs versus aliens.
But it looks good. It looks very promising.
Yeah. I'm really happy about the actor they have to play Purple Man.
David Tennant?
Yes.
Hmm. He tried to do an American sort of launch of himself. He was in Fright Night, the movie.
Yeah.
Which had potential, but he hasn't really been in anything over and outsidely.
I think Broadchurch was actually really popular.
Yeah, Broadchurch was huge.
That's probably got opened some doors for him, yeah.
The other thing that opened some doors for him was being in Harry Potter.
He was in
Goblet of Fire.
Crouch Jr.
I think Andrew might be right. Yeah.
He was Doctor Who
Doctor Who.
That super massive show.
I know he's a big deal. I'm just saying that.
I like how we're all like dancing around the one really big thing he's done.
No, I know.
It's like the one guy who isn't white. Sort of thing you're doing there.
That's exactly what we were doing. I was like, should I say Doctor Who? No, it's kind of too obvious.
Yeah.
You hipster.
I mean, the Barty Crouch Jr. character, he did that quite well, but yeah, there's no escaping the fact that he was also Doctor Who, which
this is how much weight Doctor Who has. Christopher Eccleston did Doctor Who for one season.
Yeah.
Right? And then...
He's had a bit of free reign.
He's had free reign to do whatever the hell he wants since then. You know, he was the Invisible Man in Heroes.
Yes, he was.
The creators of Heroes were trying to figure out who they should cast in the role of the Invisible Man.
I find it amazing that somebody with such a broad Mancunian accent and so many
But here's the thing. The creators of Heroes thought, actually, Christopher Eccleston's not contracted to anyone right now. We could have Doctor Who as the Invisible Man. How cool is that? And that's how he got the role.
Yeah.
He didn't even have to audition for it. They basically offered it to him.
He's a great actor.
To be fair, though.
He is.
To be fair, I am going to point out that he was in Gone in 60 Seconds before he was in Doctor Who. I think Doctor Who did kind of relaunch him.
Well, he's one of those actors who has so much bad stuff and so much good stuff that you can't really pick on any one thing. It's sort of been last the Christopher Eccleston thing because he's just so... I mean, there's that TV show he was in recently that was in Alaska, was it?
Yeah, Fortitude.
Which I would have liked to have watched.
I think it was
pretty interesting.
Yeah, but then it was only on Sky Atlantic.
Fortitude, I think it's called.
Stop it, Sky.
That's the third time I said that.
Stop taking all the cool stuff.
They do have a lot of good programs on Sky Atlantic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, back to Jessica Jones.
Is anything more to be said, I think?
Not really.
Oh, well, just that it looks super dark.
Super dark, super good.
Very bloody as well.
Yeah, plus Jessica Jones has, like, probably the darkest origin story ever.
I can't remember which one was it.
Well, Jessica Jones, basically, she used to be a superhero until the Purple Man captured her.
Ah, yes.
And basically mind-controlled her into just sitting there naked while he did naughty things to other women.
Oh, yeah. That's dark. That is. That's horrible. Ah, comic
basically,
books.
Yeah.
Comic books. Yeah. Aren't they lovely?
Yes. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on to what have you been watching, guys? So, what have you been watching?
I can go first. I've been watching The Returned, which is returned. Yep.
So, The Return of The Return.
Yes.
Oh, I was just about to.
So, this is series 2 of the French drama. Kind of a zombie drama, but it's a bit like In the Flesh. They're not the typical brain dead, brains must eat type zombies. They're basically just people who have been dead and are now alive again.
Yeah. That kind of thing, there's a lot of fallout from stuff like that, I suppose. If somebody's dead, then you grieve for them, you move on. But when they come back knocking on your door, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's pretty much the central theme of the series. It's like having to cope with someone who you have grieved for and is now suddenly alive again.
Not only that, I mean, there's the emotional side of things, but there's also the legal side of things. Once someone's been declared legally dead.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the show's not really tackled that because they're still at a point where no one's revealed that any of these people have come back.
But do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot.
I mean, can you imagine?
There's a lot of tax stuff to sort out.
Yeah, well, not only that. I mean, the Sun Life over 50 plan.
Michael Parkinson himself will have to come and, like, take it back.
Tim knocking on the door and say,
we believe you owe us money. We have
and
we'll
probably
funeral
give
cost.
Us the free Parker pen back.
Yeah. Rob's just said from a distance, Michael Parkinson, zombie hunter. So,
I would watch.
Yeah. I think there's an episode title.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. It'd be interesting if they did start looking at that, though. I think as a future angle.
Yeah, well, I know this might sort of be the last series, but basically the guy who makes it has said he'd be interested in a third series.
Yeah.
But, like, with a different set of characters and storylines, so that could maybe be somewhere they go to.
Yeah. It's an angle that really gets overlooked with these returning from the dead storylines. Everyone seems to focus on the zombie aspect and, just kind of the emotional aspect. Nobody ever looks at kind of the legal aspect. If they're not dead, then what are they? They're not alive, but they're not, clearly not dead. So what kind of state are they? And do they have human rights? Are they still human?
Yeah, see, it's not because I feel like I have seen something before that looked into that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of things that kind of look into it, but not in any great depth. And it's kind of some of the things I've seen that have it, I kind of treat it as a peripheral thing to action. Because action and more action and explosions.
Which, I mean, I guess, like, it is kind of a hard sell, though. Like, an entire series of undead legal drama.
Isn't that iZombie?
Yeah, no, iZombie is undead crime solving.
Ah, okay.
Where she eats a part of a criminal's brain and then all of a sudden she knows how to solve the crime.
So that sounds like it would be a very short series then.
Yeah. All of the criminals she eats, they've basically died or been put on death row, and she eats a part of their brain, gets their memories.
Like cold cases.
Kind of like cold cases, but the thing is, if she's eating their brain and getting their memories, doesn't that mean eventually she's going to be overflowing with the memories of killers and horrible people?
Do the memories, like, stay in her brain?
You never forget anything and she's already dead, so.
Are you saying zombies are like elephants?
Since when did we never forget anything? I forget things all the time.
Well, just your brain kind of putting it to the back of your mind so you don't actually kind of need it, because that'll be information you don't need every day.
Yeah, but neither is, like, this guy who killed someone.
Yeah.
Also, I'm like, is, like, she actually experiencing the memories like it was her who did it, or is she
I think so, yeah.
to be fair, I feel like we're speculating about something we don't watch. So yeah, we should probably just leave it and head back to The Returned, which is awesome.
Yes, let's head back to The Returned.
So, yeah, like something I've noticed with this series is they seem to be kind of edging more towards the sort of horror angle. Because I know they sort of started to incorporate some creepier elements at the end of series one, and now they're just going all out with it this series.
It did start off as a movie originally.
Yeah, it was like a movie. Then they like retooled it into a TV series.
I sort of padded it out and filled out the story a lot more. Wouldn't mind catching that, actually.
Yeah, it's cool.
First season was really good.
Yeah, it was on a. It was a big risk on Channel 4 at the time. Like,
yeah,
it was prime time on, I don't know what night it was, like 9 o'clock. So it was like, you know, normal, whatever channels would be watching, or like Channel 4 another day watching Gogglebox.
Yeah.
Like the next day they put on The Return. That's very bold of them. Very bold.
See, that is actually like the kind of bold move they keep claiming they make.
It's the kind of thing that Channel 4 was set up for, though.
Yeah,
that's exactly the kind of
thing. Yeah, but that's
television.
Exactly what I mean. That's the kind of thing they should be doing more of. It's like, that's what they was like, oh yeah, we take all these risks. It's like, you don't really Channel 4, do you?
No. Thing is, as long as they meet over a certain percentage of baldness, then they're fine. How they measure that percentage, I don't know.
Is it a baldness like ratio?
Possibly.
What is it, like asinine rubbish over bat shit? Nope. Asinine rubbish over crazy stuff.
divided by ratings.
Divided by ratings equals, you know, baldness quarter.
Yes, basically.
Okay, we've started it now.
It's like, I'm pretty sure now that they're showing The Return, they're like, I've shown twice as much Hollyoaks.
Oh, dear. Oh. They do have Hollyoaks after
that. Say that. No, it's funny you say that. Aren't they doing that killer week of Hollyoaks, and they're advertising the crap out of it all over Channel 4?
Yeah, anyway, yes. That sounds intriguing, that. Is that on Channel 4, Season 2 and Channel 4 as well?
Yeah, they're showing it now on Fridays.
Yeah.
At the evening time.
Are you sure you're not one The Returned? Because he sounded a bit obvious there.
I am so well off.
They have been taking some good risks with some like quality programming, because recently they did the Humans as well, which I want them.
Yes.
Was that any good? Is that?
Oh, that was incredible. Like, you
Humans
definitely need to catch
good.
Up on that as well, then, if you haven't seen it.
Excellent.
Yeah. Humans was very, very
so
good.
So they're taking some, like, I wouldn't say risks, but they're just going with quality storytelling, which... Isn't that what we all want, anyway?
Yeah.
We don't want nice hats and posh frocks like Downton. We want, you know, meaty storytelling.
You know? Preferably with nice hats as well, though.
Oh, yeah. Nice hats don't hurt. You know. Want a little bit more, though.
Hmm?
Awkward silence, then.
Yeah, sure. Hey.
Someone else can say things now. I'm going to go back to sleep.
Yes. Anyway, so, Owen, what have you been watching?
This is a review I've been waiting to do for some time. It's been about 3 weeks since this came out.
And we're out of time. That's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
You know, it's like what Jimmy Fallon used to do to Matt Damon whenever Matt Damon was on his show. Well, that's all we have time for. I'm sorry, we'll have to say goodbye to you. Now, the show I've been watching, it was the last ever episode of BBC's New Tricks.
Series ever.
Does that mean it's not going to be inflicted on us anymore?
Oh, don't say that. I thought it was a good show. I really enjoyed that show.
It's just, I can't look at, is it Dennis Waterman?
Doesn't he sing the theme tune? Because he has to sing the theme tune and everything.
Yeah, I know. I can't look at him without thinking of Minder.
I hated
Minder.
I mean,
although I will be fair, Minder was still better than Alf Weeders and Pet.
Yeah. I mean, Andy Parsons made a joke about it as well, the fact that everybody else had left, like James Bond had left, and Amanda Redman and Alan Armstrong were leaving at the time. And so Andy Parsons made the point, well, if it's just going to be Dennis Waterman left, it will essentially be Minder. But,
they've got Del Boy in it now, haven't they? I can't remember his name. I just know he's called
Nicholas Lyndhurst.
Yeah.
No, he was Rodney, the other one. Like,
yeah.
It was David Jason.
Oh,
was,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, Del Boy.
Some
Only Fools and Horses four pile there.
Some fairly some sizable names from back in the day. So you had, like I said, James Bolan, Alan Armstrong, Amanda Redman, Dennis Waterman, Dennis Lawson, Larry Lamb, Tamsin Athwaite.
Larry the Lamb was in there?
Not Larry the Lamb. Larry Lamb. No, Larry Lamb and
was he happy?
I think he was fairly happy. Larry Lamb.
No, it wasn't.
It's a big long cast. I think that's the point. We don't need it. It went through
but essentially two different main casts. Nicholas Lindhurst, of course, obviously. Even though there were different actors, different characters, a lot of the dynamics stayed the same, but it was also different. And
isn't it fundamentally like one of those shows you get in sort of morning TV, like, or daytime TV, like Diagnosis Murder, that sort of level of?
Because I tried watching a few episodes of New Tricks, and they just, some episodes I watched, they just felt like, you know, a cold case for pensioners.
It's very clean. I mean, in a world where all of these TV shows are incredibly violent and bleak, it's just clean.
It came out with the bleak every now and then. It could do it quite well.
Comparatively, though, I mean, it's a palate cleanser, isn't it? You don't want to watch Broadchurch every day. You want, you know, a little bit of, you know, cheese to go
just
with.
Anyone makes me watch Broadchurch every day, yeah, there's death waiting to happen then.
But that's my point. I think that's where it all belongs. It's a little niche.
I mean, part of the reason why it is gone was because the original cast were gone, and with the exit of Dennis Waterman, the exit of Dennis Waterman, they basically said, all right, well, there's no point in it anymore. They didn't really give the new characters a chance to develop to get that good dynamic out there. I mean, I reckon, I believe that at the end, it was really good. It went really well. The way they finished it, I'm quite happy with.
Okay.
So the ending, I think, is actually quite good because it leaves it open, but it closes everything up as well at the same time.
That's all. Do you think it ran so long because
New Tricks, the movie?
Oh, God, imagine
that. It is set in New York. Dennis Waterman running down, running
actually,
down the
street. Didn't, like, Dennis Waterman, his character in the show, leave to go to America?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah. I would love to see that. I would actually love to see that.
Do you think it was lengthened for popularity? You know, because those series don't really work when you replace the cast, like Hook, Line, and Sinker. Mm.
I think it was originally planned as a one-off feature-length episode once upon a time.
I mean, like, when the first cast sort of faded away, probably should have ended it there.
I think it was like one of their bigger shows, so that's why they kept going with it.
Maybe they could do it. They could do like a CSI New Tricks crossover, CSI New York along with Dennis Waterman.
I would love to see. I'd love to have seen
Dennis Waterman opposite Gary Sinise.
yes, I would have loved that. I'd also like Armstrong.
I'm not sure how this is going to work.
Like one of the characters is left for, like, James Bond or Alan Armstrong at one point, like, just has to plow into one of the villains in a car.
Yes,
and just like open the door and just yell, "I'm back."
The crossover of Law and Order, and it's just really serious with Dennis Waterman running around to the Benny Hill fame, you know. it's a real sort of, you know, oddball series.
The bad guy is some guy in like a long leather coat with fur, and he's wearing a hat and sells used cars.
Oh, that's a nice Arthur Daly reference right there.
Yes.
There's a place for it, you know. It was a nice palate cleanser with all the bleak police drama out there.
Right now, it's finished now. It's done. It's gone. I think it's a bit of a shame.
Yeah, it's one of those BBC sort of plays. Well, not one to play, it's one of their sort of, you know, shows that hold down the station, like Waterloo Road, the TV show in a school which doesn't actually exist in any physical location because there's somebody from every city in the country there.
That's a good point.
That's not how schools work.
Things are because... With the new newer characters, I could say what they were kind of carbon copies of. Like, Larry Lamb's was a carbon copy of James Bullen's, who's a very sort of the voice of reason for the team leader.
The straight man.
Yeah. Then you had Dennis Lawson, who was a copy of Dennis Waterman, the kind of sort of on the fence. He could be good, he could be bad, but he kind of gets things done his way, but he's still really good at it. Then, of course, Nicholas Lindhurst was like Alan Armstrong's character, the very kind of analytical, intelligent person who people think is a bit boring.
It's very Diagnostic Murder from what I experience.
It is a bit, but...
With Bleep Van Bleep.
Yes.
Because I can't actually say his name.
It's just like the porniest name of any actor.
Yeah. Dear me. He tries. And there's just so many jokes that can go from that. None of them are broadcastable. So sad.
I'm sorry, is he still alive?
Yeah, yeah, he's like 90 now. I believe Van Bleep.
Wow.
I'm not allowed to say his name.
I'm pretty sure it was like part of the same sort of ritual as Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they have like received their eternal. Well, I was going to say eternal youth, but no. Not that.
That's not going for them. That's not going well.
You found the name of the show, Rob?
Yes, I have.
What was it then?
River. And it is amazing. Seriously, Stellan Skarsgård is super.
Oh, that one.
One on BBC thingy.
Yes. It's really good. Because the thing is, the way the very first episode, the way they played out the first episode, you remember when I reviewed Tales of Zestiria, I was talking about the camera angles and the way they use the camera angles. Really use them well. And it's not until right at the end of the episode when you see the back of her head blown off as she's walking beside him. And then you see the shot from just behind him.
Cinematography, right.
And he's talking to nobody. And then you realize, oh, wow.
It gave me a vibe of sort of Nordic noir.
It is very Nordic noir meets The Sixth Sense. But with a much darker kind of, much darker than
much
The Sixth
darker
Sense.
Than Nordic Noir. You can't get darker than Nordic Noir.
No, I meant than The Sixth Sense.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because Nordic Noir...
For sure, darker than Nordic Noir, I was just turning the TV off and sitting on the screen.
6 months of night. 30 days of night. You're not ambitious enough. So, yeah, anyway... The story is just kind of, you know, it's just kind of really getting into it now on the third episode, but it's just, I watched the first two episodes back to back because I just couldn't, after I watched the first 10 minutes of the first episode, I was like, actually, this is actually quite intriguing. And I got to the end of the first episode with the big reveal and I was like, oh, wow. Straight away into the second episode.
What's the central conceit of it though? What's the
idea? He's trying to find out who killed his partner.
Partner as in lover or partner as in...
A little from column A, a little from column B. I'm not going to go there because that's a spoiler.
Oh, no, it's just the word partner was a bit...
Yeah, I know, it's ambiguous. A spoiler. It's a spoiler.
So you were consciously ambiguous, okay.
Yes, exactly. You got to get out of that habit.
What?
Of preempting me.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just very good at it.
Anyway, he's trying to find that out, but also trying to do his job as well, but he's gone a little bit mad somewhere along the way. Have you watched it yet?
No, because I don't have time to watch things, Rob.
Yes. He's gone a little bit mad along the way, and everyone wants him to get help, but he's kind of, no, I'm fine. But he doesn't actually realize that he spends a lot of time from other people's perspectives. He spends a lot of time talking to himself, but from his perspective, he's not. So is he actually talking to ghosts? Is he actually seeing ghosts, or is he just playing crazy? Has he gone completely crazy? Nobody knows.
Okay.
That's what I meant when I said it's a little bit Sixth Sense. Because you probably won't find out until the very end.
He's seeing people, did you say?
He's talking to his partner who's dead.
Well, there was that TV show, what was it called? Where his daughter killed himself. Edge of Darkness?
Yeah.
His daughter killed himself?
Yeah. Yeah, she did. I don't know how that works. Which he... I'm not going to try and dig my way out of that one, because it's not possible. Classy slip of the tongue there.
Yes, very Freudian of you. Anyway, yes, the way they've done the script, it does give away that he's conscious that his partner's dead, but he's obviously still talking to his partner. So how does this work? Do you see what I mean? Because he knows his partner's dead, but he's still talking to his partner.
Yeah, but I guess maybe it's one of those things, like, he doesn't want to admit it because then she might go away.
He kind of does admit it, though.
He's barking then, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is the thing. You don't actually know because you see her clear as day, but when you look at it from the perspective of everybody else, they don't see her.
Mad Detective, the Nick Cage one. But he was just, you know, wasted on drugs.
Yeah, kind of, but, you know, it does a really good job of playing around with that perception of, is he crazy or is he actually seeing dead people?
See, I think it's all just an elaborate setup for a new gritty reboot of Randall and Hopkirk Deceased.
Actually, you might. I would love it if this was a gritty reboot of that, but they kept, Stellan Skarsgård in there because he's really good.
He is a fantastic actor.
When he's not doing Avengers, stuff.
Yeah, he's just dancing around naked in them. So everybody wants to do that every now and again. And
exactly.
He's just getting paid to do it. That's the difference.
No. Yeah, well, yeah, he is a man who literally gets to make like millions of dollars just by standing around in his underpants. It's like he is living the dream.
We can only hope to reach the high level of that.
It's art, I tell you.
So it's good. River.
Yeah, river's good. River's very good.
Excellent.
It will catch you off guard as well.
So he's saying his partner is like just a supernatural edge to it, or is that just like the
That's
only...
That's the point. You're not supposed to know.
So it's not explaining anything to you?
No.
Oh, good.
It's not trying to. It is trying to, but also not at the same time.
Just giving you the bare minimum.
Do you remember how in Jonathan Strange of Mr. Norrell, Andrew, it was very kind of, it didn't try to explain what magic itself was. It just was more kind of, people can use it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that approach. You know, this is simply something that is. People are going to try and explain it, but for the most part, we're going to avoid talking about it. Because, you know, the ones who are like, yeah, he's got a mental illness, there's that whole stigma about mental illness that rears its ugly head, and all of a sudden, yeah, we can't really talk about mental illness.
I was going to make a comparison in a movie again. I don't watch TV, so I can't make a lot of comparisons to TV.
It's good you came on the TV show then.
It was. I really should start watching TV again. But I was thinking Shutter Island when you were saying that.
Yes.
That sort of, I mean, it's a spoiler for anybody who hasn't watched it, but it has that same sort of ambiguous touch to it.
Yeah. Shutter Island's a good example.
Yeah. Because that has a very... What is exactly going on here? What is exactly his role in all of this?
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Basically.
And he's seeing stuff.
Is he mad? Is he not? What's going on?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's River. I'm really enjoying it.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
So, anyone else? Or is that it?
I think that's about
it. I watched some adverts.
Hey.
Yes. Anyway, we are unfortunately at the end of the show, so we're going to love you and leave you there. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us studio@thegeekshow.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Twitter, My Anime List, Steam, and various other places on the internet. Oh, and Google Plus as well. We always forget Google Plus. Just look for The Geek Show.
It's underrated.
Yeah, it's underrated. Yeah. Just look for The Geek Show and we'll be there. In the meantime, we have been on the box. I have been Rob.
I have been the zombie formerly known as Andrew.
And I'm not even supposed to be here.
I'm Owen.
Yes.
Also known by Rob.
Yes. And we'll see you all next week. Take care and have fun.